For any mission-driven company, becoming a B Corp can further solidify a commitment to ethical and sustainable business practices. For UK-based Crown Agents Bank, certifying as a B Corp was also a highly rewarding, albeit complex, milestone. With the bank's achievement our focus, we explore all things B Corp in this episode, the second in a series sponsored by Junction Strategy. Stay tuned for an insightful conversation. Welcome to In the Business of Change, where we speak with social entrepreneurs impacting their communities and the world. I'm your host, Elisa Birnbaum, publisher and editor-in-chief of Sea Change magazine. On today's episode, one of three sponsored by impact consultancy Junction Strategy, I'm excited once again to have a co-host, President and CEO of Junction Strategy, Mike Rowlands. We'll be speaking with Charlie Bronx, head of ESG at Crown Agents Bank, and Alice Elliott, senior consultant at Junction, about what motivated the company to pursue B Corp certification and the process they underwent to achieve it. We discuss the challenges along the B Corp journey, the benefits of certification, and then offer advice for others looking to become a B Corp themselves. If you want to learn more about B Corps, this is an episode you don't want to miss. So excited to have Mike back here as my co-host for another wonderful podcast episode. Mike, thank you so much for joining me.
Total pleasure, Elisa. It's lovely to be back with you and to talk about another one of the great clients that Junction Strategy has the privilege of serving. I'm joined here today with one of my colleagues, Alice Elliott, and one of our great clients, Charlie Bronx, from Crown Agents Bank, a UK-based, internationally active, regulated bank that connects emerging markets and frontier markets to the rest of the world. So they use foreign exchange and payments technologies to connect financial vendors, providers to those very, very difficult places around the world where it's hard to move capital to support important infrastructure projects and development and so on. They are transforming the way that payments and foreign exchange moves through those emerging markets. They reduce friction so that money can get to those who really need it. And through their work, Crown Agents Bank, or CAB, as they like to call themselves, connects traditionally hard-to-reach regions to the global financial infrastructure that so many of us take for granted. And we've been really proud to work with Crown Agents Bank. We think they're an incredible organization, and we've supported them to achieve their B Corp certification. And we'll talk a little bit more about what the B Corp certification is, although many listeners have probably heard about it. But we'll also talk about some of the challenges and the rewards that CAB experienced as they navigated that process, and now that they can call themselves proud members of the B Corp community. So I'd love to hand the mic to Charlie Bronx from Crown Agents Bank to introduce yourself. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Mike and Elisa and Alice. It's great to be able to be here and talk to you about this part of our journey. I'm the sustainability lead, so I'm head of ESG. And the B Corp process actually enabled us to create the function, which was just fantastic. I had the pleasure back in the day of running various roles within the bank, from working with the communications, working with key clients, looking at UN entities, amongst others, and UK government and others. And one of the things that we felt early on was that our DNA really lent itself to that financial inclusion. And we knew that we should be doing more and define ourselves more within this area, certainly. We found that the B Corp certification process was enormously helpful in finding that identity and creating that sort of narrative. I was lucky enough to meet Junction quite early on in that process, which for me really helped define our journey and our approach and how we looked at not just B Corp, but our ESG journey, sustainability, what we can do more of. Everything from our supply chain to our very ambitious, lofty projects that we have in the pipeline. But me personally, I've worked in with NGOs, I've worked with private sector, public sector. So I feel really well placed to be within our organization and to be sort of pushing our B Corp agenda, ESG, and flying the flag.
Flying the flag. Nice. Well put. Let's bring Alice into the conversation too. I'm keen for you to introduce yourself.
Hi. So I'm Alice Elliott, and I've been working in sustainability and social impact for about coming up to 20 years across various different functions. And now, yeah, I'm with Junction the last couple of years as a senior consultant and very much focusing on B Corp certification, supporting a variety of different businesses to, on their B Corp journey, which involves, you know, assessments, but also involves hopefully gaining certification, like I had the privilege of doing with CAB.
Fabulous. Well, let's dive into it. I'm really keen to learn a little bit more about CAB. I didn't get to work directly with you, so I've been looking forward to this conversation and learning a little bit more. Maybe we could start by asking you, Charlie, just share a little bit deeper introduction to Crown Agents Bank and a sense of its work and your clients and the reach that the bank has.
Sure. A lot of people don't know us as a brand name. So they, you know, they might know retail banks, but we're a global wholesale bank. And whilst we're regulated in the UK, we do, as you said earlier, specialise in those sort of cross-border payments in and FX in hard-to-reach markets, predominantly the global south. And we sort of operate at that intersection of international banking and development finance, offering financial services designed to drive financial inclusion, enhance global trade, and support that sustainable economic growth. And we do this in Africa, Asia, Caribbean, the Pacific, and we focus on countries traditionally underserved by the traditional banks, if you like. And our presence really in these regions really does help and contribute towards economic stability, development, and leveraging really our deep understanding of these markets due to our lengthy history in those markets. And some of our clients, it's interesting, we work a lot with central banks, government ministries, international NGOs, aid agencies, financial institutions, and that will include a lot of UN entities, for example. Obviously, we can't talk about individual clients, but it gives you a flavour of the breadth and spectrum of who we work with. And we're really proud to work with those organisations, especially when you consider the positive impact and various development banks and nonprofits working on the ground, and you can see that sort of impact.
That's amazing. Having done a little bit of work with international development agencies and having some friends that have spent their careers in international development, I know how difficult it can be to get the logistics and infrastructure and finance coordinated in some of these hard to reach places. So you do an extraordinary service for an awful lot of constituents around the world. It's really important work.
It's very impressive. I agree. Alice, I'm so curious about what you're up to. So I know that you are one of the B Corp leaders on Junction team, as you mentioned, and you have a lot of experience in this area. So for those who are new to the whole conversation of B Corp, although I'm sure everyone at this point has heard the term, but may be curious as to learn a little bit more about it, let's get to the basics first. What exactly is a B Corp? And then we'll talk about how you worked with Crown Agents Bank to help them get certified.
Sure. Thanks, Elisa. So yeah, I'm a B leader, it's called, which means I've done a set training to help understand how to take companies through the B Corp assessment. And I did mine in 2017, which was just the second cohort in the UK when it came over. So I have been doing it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful when it comes to helping companies on their journey. And what is B Corp certification? Well, it's three things. So as it says in the title, it is a certification standard, but it's also a global movement, and that's a hugely important part of it. And equally important is it's a tool. It's an impact measurement and management tool, simple as that. What does it mean by certification standard? Well, of course, you know, it's setting standards for performance across different sectors, which is really tricky. But also what's really pivotal in this particular certification is that it locks in this idea of stakeholder-centric decision-making into a company's governance. So that's to say it prioritizes, or it asks B Corps to prioritize all stakeholders, not just shareholders, when considering the impact of their business decisions as they make them on a day-to-day basis. And this is really the pivotal part of B Corp certification when it comes down to it. In terms of it being a global movement, well, there's an intentional purpose there, and that's that this international network of B Corps leads economic systems change to support a collective vision of inclusive, equitable, and regenerative economy. So, you know, quite lofty and high goals coming from B B-Lab itself. B-Lab is the certifying body for the certification. Right. And of course, the socials and the partnerships and the collectives and the parties and the, you know, online forums and, you know, all of this kind of supportive stuff. And then as an impact measurement and management tool, well, of course, there's just so much to do with sustainability, so many different areas that sustainability reaches. And this tool helps you to kind of tear that down, and it makes it accessible. And it doesn't just focus on one product or service, but it focuses on the business as a whole. So it's a really comprehensive impact analysis. And of course, from next year, from 2025, there'll be new performance standards, but there'll also be minimum requirements across 10 impact topics, which will raise the bar for B Corps even higher.
It's a really challenging certification to achieve. The certification, the framework ranks a company out of a possible, theoretically possible 200 points. No company has come close to actually achieving 200 points. The average company would be somewhere around 49 to 52 sort of points, and you need to get 80 points in order to achieve the certification. Mm-hmm. So it's and it's remarkably detailed, it's remarkably stringent, and so it's seen as one of the leading certifications for socially responsible and sustainable business worldwide.
One small correction, Dr. Bronner's is the leading B Corp now with 206.7 points.
Ooh,
yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Incredible.
I like that. That's amazing. Do we have any clue as to how many B Corps are around the world?
About 8,600, roughly.
Okay.
And growing fast.
And constantly growing. It's amazing. And it's such a hard work.
And about 1,800 in the UK, I think.
Over 2,000 in the
UK. Over 2,000 now. Gosh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. 2,000 in the UK.
To me, it's fascinating because I know how much work it is going into it. I mean, I know, Mike, you did. You're a B Corp, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And I know a lot of people are daunted by the process, but yet I'm so impressed by the many of people who are pushing through and doing it, including CAB. So, Alice, would you go through the process of how Junction and you together work to help support the certification process?
Yeah, so we have a kind of a flexible but standard process that we do with our clients to help them on this journey. And we start with sitting down with Charlie in this case and a colleague or two and running through every single question. So we do what's called baselining the assessment, which means we get a feel for the answer for every single question and assess the evidence that they have for those questions to see what the score is and where they're at when it comes to being able to pass the 80-point threshold to certify, the currently, as it stands, 80-point threshold to certify. So we run this process of meetings where we talk through every single question, and at the end of it, get this baseline score. And then we see what kind of gap there is between where they're at and what it will take to certify. And then we put in place an improvements plan, work through the improvements plan together, whether that's a couple of policies or processes that need refining or a little bit of extra data that needs pulling together. And we work together as partners really on that, didn't we, Charlie? Going through quite a long and detailed verification process together, which I'm sure we'll come on to.
It can be a long-winded process. It can take an awful lot of work. You're certainly rolling your sleeves up and getting down into the data. But I'm curious, in this particular case, what made it challenging for Crown Agents Bank? Were there particular things that made it really difficult for you? What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, so I'm grinning, and I know that Alice will be. There were a lot of things, actually. And I think hopefully we'll see more financial services organizations join. But I can see why some of them may not have, certainly, you know, a bank in our situation, because we were looking at it and thinking, well, how do we communicate this? Because we deal a lot with the Global South. And sometimes when you're pulling together the data, if you just use the data from the Global North, you could make it look better depending on the optics and what question you are being asked. So it is about how the questions are asked. But I mean, it's very important for us and where we work in the market to work with countries that are conveying the importance of moving money into to those areas susceptible to geopolitical and natural disasters. But that presents enormous challenges, which aren't necessarily factored into the framework, I think is probably the best way to phrase it. So being able to articulate how we do it, how we move money into those areas at risk, and they might be geopolitical risk, they may be a natural disaster, And how do you do that quickly? And how do you do that for, you know, those vital paths for humanitarian aid and economic stability? But the complexity that comes with that risk management, the ethical considerations, the emergency around that is something that perhaps isn't factored into some of the decision making, or isn't obviously when you first look at it. So what you have to do is go away and look at it from about 50 different angles and say, how do you present that in a way where it fits the framework, where we're answering the question we're being asked, but we're doing it authentically? So it was about, you know, how we measure that and report on that positive impact. And we were also welcoming those uncomfortable questions of how you measure impact in the right way. We came up and we were talking a lot about reverse impact, because we couldn't necessarily talk about some of the impact, because by doing so, we would then be disclosing highly sensitive customer data, which we can't do. We were looking at what is the impact of us not doing something. So working with a jurisdiction, with a market, with a country, if we didn't do what we did, what would that impact be? So we were looking at lots of different ways. It's really changed the way we view impact and the way we might measure impact, which has been fantastic. And it's also led to some decisions and some thinking that we're doing within strategy right now. But I think what it also enabled was that sort of, and I think that was working closely with Junction, certainly Alice and I for a long time, were looking at how we maintain that agility, how we were able to jump and move and be adept at whilst meeting the questions. As a growing business, we were changing. We went from a limited company to a listed company. We had to maintain that agility while continuing to expand that story, that narrative around our impact. And we also had to make sure that those commitments were met and exceeded. So we have a bigger opportunity now on our B Corp journey and our sustainability journey and our ESG message. I think we have a bigger stakeholder, not just shareholder, audience and partnership to work with. So it's been enormously challenging, but equally rewarding and fantastic to be able to sort of like really get that rigor into the process. But the impact piece for us has been, I think, revolutionary.
I'm really intrigued with this experience that you had of sort of going through the process, asking the right questions, and those questions inspiring different ways of looking at the business, different ways of thinking about strategy, mm-hmm. ways of thinking about what sustainability and impact mean. It really can be a powerful way to sort of rethink the role of the business.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is down to the nuance within the assessment, which we haven't talked about, which is some of the questions are asking about your operational impact. So the day-to-day impact of that any business should be having around its HR policies and its good kind of environmental practices within its office. And the other questions are about what B-Lab calls an impact business model. So this is about your uniquely verifiable social or environmental impact that you have as part of your business model. And they're quite different, those questions. And they also acknowledge a much greater, I don't want to say points, they give you more points, but they do give you more points, more impact. They acknowledge your impact. And initially with CAB, we looked at an impact business model around financial inclusion, which makes perfect sense for CAB as part of your purpose. Yeah. But it didn't, B-Lab said it didn't, we didn't fit in that one. And that is the challenge for all frameworks, is they're trying to be everything to everyone, and then where they decide you don't fit, you don't fit. So they switched us into support for purpose driven and with an option for underserved businesses, acknowledging the underserved businesses that you serve as well. And that did work, and it did acknowledge the impact you have through your business model serving not non-governmental organizations or international development organizations. So you did get your impact acknowledged there, but it was harder to measure and acknowledge the outcomes of the broader business, which we know are there. But that was the challenge, and it was an interesting challenge, as you said.
Can I ask you just really unpack a bit of jargon there? You just used the phrase impact business model, or IBM. What is an IBM in the B Corp context?
Yes, we'd like to know.
I become familiar with this jargon. I explain it, and then I realize that it's glossed out. It's gone over people's head because you've become so familiar with jargon. So impact business model are these questions, these particular questions around the type of business model you have and how you can verify the social or environmental impact that you have as part of your business model. So there's a very clear part of these questions, and that they must be linked to your revenue. It's not a little side project that you have, which does some good social or environmental work. It's not a little philanthropic area. It's a part of the way that you have set your business up to operate. So it can't just be taken out if you decide, well, there's no budget for that anymore. This is how you operate as a business. And this is the social and or environmental impact that you have as part of that business model. And that kind of support for purpose-driven businesses or organizations was where CAB were acknowledged for their impact.
That was really interesting, especially despite the fact that a lot of what we do in other areas is clearly financial inclusion, but it's about that impact, it's about the measurement, isn't it? It's about how you define it. And so that's been enormously helpful. And it's helped the way we've looked at impact. And it's certainly looking at the way we're tracking impact. So we now have social impact metrics that we talk about, and we talk about this is what we're doing. And we can see year on year what our remittance payments are in terms of those particular countries or those particular markets as defined. The same with international development organizations, the flows that we see and those that are going in development flows to various geographies. And that gives you an idea of what's happening. And you can also, again, retrospectively look at different impacts around the world and what that might have with our flow and who we're reaching. But it's wholesale. So we're not and that's the other piece. I think if we were a retail bank, it would have been, I'm reluctant to use the word easier because I think it would have equally brought different challenges. But if we'd been a retail bank, we'd have been able to talk much more about some of the end beneficiaries and being able to say, well, this one, you know, did this and this did that. We're actually talking about much larger supranational organizations. So it might be a UN entity, or it might be a big NGO. And we know they might, you know, have children in their name or something else in their name. And you know what those projects are being spent on. But there's only so much that you can, you know, put in the narrative.
Briefly, I was going to say, I think one of the challenges is the lens that B Corp has taken since its inception is, of course, the lens from the US, where it was started. And whilst they've grown and diversified that lens and taken different perspectives, they're asking for outcomes around this service that CAB creates. But actually, it's the mere fact of inclusion in this important and, as Mike mentioned earlier, complex system that is the outcome, the inclusion part. And further than that is, it's not up to us. That's the important part, is the inclusion in that system that we take for granted in many, many places in the world.
And we by definition connect underserved markets. So that's our core function. So it's a really interesting one of, you're a human, but you're not really a human in this context. It was a confusing one to sort of grasp, but once we did, we were able to then look at that sort of impact piece.
So now that you're certified and the enormous process is done, I'm curious what you would say are the benefits that have accrued since the culmination of this.
Absolutely. I think it's a great question, because, you know, why do it is one of the questions. For us, it's a great framework, and it's a collective mission, and it aligns with our values, which are client focus, impact, collaboration, integrity. And it speaks to our staff in a way perhaps that other things don't. And I think it's something to be really proud of, is it was a well-earned certification that we're proud of. And this month alone, for B Corp month in March, we're doing a lovely collaboration with one of our strategic partners where we're looking to try and feed 50,000 children with staff and with the bank. That came from an idea from the collaboration from B Corp month with a client of how we can engage with some of our strategic partners and really embrace those values. And I think it gives you another level really to work with. And I think the talent piece is really important. A lot of new staff are coming in saying, hey, this is great, tell me more about it. You know, what does that mean if they don't know, or what else can I do? How can I get involved? That's music to my ears.
That's great.
Yeah, here. I agree. Yeah. Certifying isn't a small undertaking, and yet we're seeing more and more companies, thousands of companies interested in this certification. What are some of the points of advice that you might offer for other listeners that are thinking of achieving the certification themselves?
Well, for someone like us, we're inherently focused on social purpose, such as financial inclusion, and that really helps us in that validation. But it's also great if someone's looking at you as an organization, so an investor, perhaps, they'll know what a B Corp is. You know, there's lots of sustainability ratings. There aren't that many certifications. and naught in terms of the level of rigor and discipline. And they know it's tested. They know you can't have just gone out and bought a certification. Hopefully you can't with any of them. But I think in terms of the 2-year process, it does eliminate that problem. My advice is don't underestimate the effort required. Again, for those that can't see, I think Alice will be smiling at this point. The effort that we had to put in, it really demanded quite a comprehensive review of all of our business practices and also engaging with stakeholders at all levels of being on the sustainability train. So those at the front and those perhaps sort of not quite getting on board. But it's a great way of communicating that message, which is brilliant. It gives you an ability to engage all stakeholders. I think you've got to do that. My advice is if it's you as a lone voice, don't do it. You've got to ask the question and work with a knowledgeable partner. When we first decided to do this, we had a few people recommended to us. And when I met Junction, I met Adam and Alice and Helen and the team there, they felt like the right partner. They were they were people that we could work with to do this. They weren't going to deliver it on a plate. We had to do the work, but they were enormously helpful in that guidance process. And yeah, I think if you haven't got the right partner, if you haven't engaged stakeholders, and if you haven't got the time, you're really stacking the odds against you. My advice for pursuing it is, I think it's brilliant, but just don't underestimate the undertaking.
Really generous feedback to Junction. I so appreciate it. Is there anything that you'd add after helping certify such a complicated business, Alice?
So senior level support, I think you did mention that briefly earlier on, having support all the way to the top of the business is really important. You'll need people to prioritize some resources within the business, especially when it comes to pulling data together or evidencing certain outcomes and impacts. And also, I think talk to your stakeholders about it. I think you find that it might be interesting that what your stakeholders say about the certification, and then you may find it encouraging in terms of finding the reasons to justify investing in the process.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that any of you would do differently now, knowing what you know now?
Well, that's a good question. I wish I'd realized quite how much work was required. I didn't resent it. I actually learned a lot from the process, but you know, there were times when I was thinking, how on earth are we going to manage to do this in the time frame? Then I had some frustrations with the time frame, which, because it took quite a long period of time and because it was complex with the questions and the process, I had to manage stakeholders through quite a complex journey within the bank. And I want to be able to signpost more and perhaps wasn't equipped to signpost as well as I'd like. So I would change that. And I'm hoping that I can join the financial services working group within B Corp to be part of that as well, that change. And the other thing I'd want to change is maybe to be able to bring on the Global South businesses more so they can be part of this community. So rather than it perhaps being where it started, that focus maybe from the Global North, perhaps we can make it accessible in a way for the Global South. Certainly for us, that would help with some of our impact. So that's me being slightly selfish. But I also think everybody's got to be in the room to make it work.
That's great points. Thank you.
I would just add that in some ways, there's many things I would do differently. And in other ways, there isn't. And that's partly because the B Corp certification process is a growing process. It's a living, breathing process, and it's constant. They're constantly trying to update to keep up with the radical pace of social change globally. And not only that, but you know, recruiting more analysts as the interest in the movement grows. So there's many more resources available now, and the processes are constantly getting tightened to be improved, and they know a little bit more, and then something else will pop up and they'll need to flex and respond to that. So it's staying resilient and just going with the flow a little bit.
I will say, Alice, to that point, you've just made me think it was a brilliant journey of self-discovery for the business and also for me in terms of how I was engaging stakeholders and how I brought people perhaps on who were slower to grasp some of the, just because of their own priorities perhaps, but it was enormously rewarding and enlightening. And yeah, partly, part of me wouldn't change it, part of me would.
Yeah.
Change is inevitable.
Indeed. It's fascinating to me, Elisa, as I sort of reflect on this conversation. You and I have had conversations over the years about the sort of qualities of leadership in social purpose and social impact, and the qualities that we see in organizations that are legitimately and authentically pursuing social responsibility.
Yeah.
And the certification and the process that, sort of forces you to navigate inherently supports people like Charlie that are committed social impact professionals, and it gives them a toolkit and a framework and a language to convey all of that to colleagues in the enterprise. Mm-hmm. And then the enterprise itself, by way of having a certification, gives this sort of stamp of legitimacy, whether they think of it as sustainability or corporate social responsibility or impact, like choose your jargon, it doesn't really matter. We've got a certification of authenticity here that's rigorous and detailed and constantly evolving so that it stays a benchmark standard. So I think it's really powerful. And we see an international organization, a leader in its space, like Crown Agent Bank, achieve the certification and talk about it so proudly, and forecast commit to recertifying every 3 years. So this is an ongoing journey, right?
Yeah. My goodness. Yes. A huge journey, an ongoing journey. And two things that you said, the authenticity and legitimacy, those are the things that really come to mind over and over again in this conversation. And you have to really be there for the right reasons. And so we learn a lot. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing your story. What would you say last words for you, Mike?
Well, as I said off the front, I wasn't directly involved in this project. So I sort of saw bits and pieces of it as it navigated through Junction System and sort of learned about Alice's work along the way and heard about how amazing Charlie is. But it's lovely to get this deep dive and to hear the insights into the complexities of the business and the amazing work that you do and the incredible achievement of getting to be a B Corp. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. This conversation, I think, really highlights for me also the reason why Mike and I are doing this series. You don't usually hear the stories. You don't hear the deep dive, as Mike mentioned, but these conversations allow that. And I'm so grateful for it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm leaving inspired. Really grateful for that.
Thanks. You. What it's actually allowed us to do is to actually be slightly ahead of other organizations. And for us, you know, we want to overshoot and do better than we need to, and be ahead of the regulation and be the good student and lead by example. And this has enabled all of that to happen. And I feel really fortunate.
Thank you for joining this special episode of In the Business of Change, one of three sponsored by Junction and co-hosted by its president and CEO, Mike Rollins. Stay tuned for the next episode in our special series, coming soon.